so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
In the Word of God, go with me to John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. I began a series last week called You Matter. And last week we started it and it was entitled You Matter. And that's what we talked about, is that you matter. Now the problem with some people is not believing that they matter. Some people believe that they're the only ones that matter. But today I want to talk to you about, on the subject part two, that they matter. Who are they? Well, you know them. They are the ones who know it all. They are the ones who aren't you. They. But here's what John said, and Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, verse 34, verse 35, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Wow. I mean, here it is, that love thing again. I love one young lady come up to me today. She said, Pastor, she said, I called my kids last week after the message, and I told them that I love you has been thrown around too much. So, yes, I love you, but more than that, you matter. Because how many knows that love has been thrown around to where it really doesn't mean what it once did? I mean, all you got to do is look on Facebook. I love you to the end. And then a week later, they're done. You are my soulmate. I love you. And then 3 weeks later, they must have found a new soulmate. Love is not what it once meant in our vocabulary. But he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And then he said, by this love, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples. Verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. What? That you love one another. And you know, listen, I'm cool loving the people I like. I'm going to let that sink in. I'm cool loving the people who love me. But do we still love the people, them, who don't necessarily love us? See, we're going to be talking about the individuals that we meet on the street every day, because why? They matter. You matter, but they matter. And you can never get beyond the fact of getting to know them and knowing that they matter until you first realize last week that you matter. But today, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about people. And I got some statistics for you. That the people that I'm talking about is the other 7+ billion people on the planet. The ones next door to us. The ones that we work with, the ones that we work for, the ones that we see in the grocery store, the ones that we see in the shopping malls, the ones we bump into every day at the gas station or the gym or the restaurant. People on the street. You probably bump into hundreds of them every day if you started counting them, because they are everywhere. Are you pushing on me again, Mike? I'm not there. Man, these guys, they just push me. You're taking too long, Pastor. Get to the next one. They are everywhere. Who? Them. People. They're everywhere. You can't get away from them. No matter where you go on this planet, you're going to run into somebody. Matter of fact, go on vacation, get away from everyone, and you know what? You're going to be around some of them. What are them, people? I went to the mountains for a family vacation one year, and lo and behold, I'm standing in line at a ski lift, and guess who I run into? Church folk. Don't even go to our church anymore, but went years ago. I ran into them. I'm like, what? What in the world? I went on a mission trip 2 years ago to Ecuador and in 2015, and I got to talking with the lady who and the ladies who were sitting in front of us, and lo and behold, she was Kelly Waldeck's aunt. You just can't get away from people. I mean, El Ranchito a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, really, and I was just there, and I was eating lunch, my daughter and I, and I, you know, it's a small place if you've ever been to that little restaurant, and I walked in, I didn't know anybody in there, we sat down, my oldest daughter was in town, we were having lunch, and the next thing I know, this guy pays, and he comes by and pats me on the shoulder and says, "I just want you to know, Pastor Reed." How do you know me? He said, "I just want you to know that I've listened to every sermon that is on podcast. You kept me, the podcast, they kept me, while me and my dog on guard duty in Afghanistan every night." And I was like, wow. But I didn't know him. But you just can't get away from people, and you never know who you're impacting. People are everywhere, and you can't get away from them. How many have tried? But they're there. You can go away for a little while, maybe in the woods, but eventually you're going to run into somebody. You know, there's an old saying that if you can't beat them, join them. You and I are part of the human race, and as hard as it might try to be, but we're not the only person on the planet. It's just not going to work, and because you can try as you may, but you're not going to be able to be completely alone. You've got to deal with people, but Jesus gave us the power. God gave us the power to deal with people. And how many knows that some folks, you've got to have the power of God to deal with. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "I know he's talking about you right now." There are, as of yesterday afternoon, thank you, 7,397,702 of them on this planet. Here in America, there's one of them born every 8 seconds. One dies every 10 seconds. An international migrant enters this country every 29 seconds as it stands. That's a net gain of one additional person in the United States every 17 seconds. 323 million people now live in the United States, and I believe 322 million was in the Crystal River yesterday. Might be a little exaggeration. But that's not much when you consider countries like China and India, who each have around 1.3 billion people in their countries and respectively. You can't find, here's what I learned, you can't find a landmass anywhere on the planet where people aren't there or have been there. People, other people. See, point one is this. We are commanded in the scriptures to reach them. That's part of Gideon's. We trying to reach them. Well, who, Pastor? Those people who don't know Jesus? No, them, period. I'm not talking about church people. I'm just talking about people. Because it's easy to talk about your family and wanting to reach them, but what about the rest of the world? It is God's, in Scripture, tells us to not only reach them, but to disciple them and to love them. Even when they're unlovable, yeah. If I said the Ten Commandments, almost everybody in here would have a semblance of what I'm talking about. They would know that the Ten Commandments are what Moses, or what God gave Moses, right? Well, let's look at them for a moment. Here's what one says: "You shall have no other gods before me." You know who that deals with? That's something between me and God, right? I don't need to have any other gods before him. Number two, "You shall not make idols." You know who that deals with? Me and God. What about number three? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Again, God. People don't care. God. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Again, God. The first four. All has to do about me and God. But here we come. Number five, honor your father and mother, others. You see how it shifted? We think that Christianity is all about me. No, once you truly get, and I'm going to put in quotations, Christianity, it begins to shift because you need to tell everybody where you found bread. You need to tell everybody where you found salvation. You need to tell everybody where you found focus for living. You need to tell everybody about what Jesus has done and is doing in your life. Honor your father and mother. Number six, you shall not murder others. And I, for one, am glad that's in there. You shall not commit adultery. Number seven, who is that? Others. The first four is about me and my relationship with God, but the last six is about me and others. Number eight, you shall not steal. Others. It goes back to that, you shall not murder. Because if you steal from me, I want to murder you. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Again, others. Are we starting to see the picture? Number 10, you shall not covet others. The first four commandments have to do with your relationship with God, but the next six commandments have to do with them. Beyond you. That he spent more time telling us how to deal with them than how to deal with God. Why? Because I don't have any trouble with God. My trouble's with them. My biggest trouble is with them. It's hard to lie about them, steal from them, covet them, murder them when you love them. Oh, somebody hear me. I can't get no help, but I'm going to preach anyway. You won't have any problem with six of the Ten Commandments if you just love others and value them enough. You won't have as much trouble. If you begin to understand that not only do you matter, but now that you know Jesus and you know that you matter, he has fixed your stinking thinking. He has got you out of your Jerry Springer episode life, and you starting to put things together, and now you begin to understand that it's not all about me, that the world does not revolve around me, that the universe, I am not the center of it, but now I begin to understand that other people matter also. Also, understand people are not inanimate objects. They are not disposable. We might think sometimes that because there are so many of them, that we shouldn't be all concerned about them. But understand something with me this morning, and we looked at it last week, that every single person on the planet matters to God. When they don't matter to you, they still matter to God. Whether we notice them or not, they matter to God. Whether we care for them or not, they matter to God. Whether we want him to or not, he still loves them and matters to them. They matter to him. Psalms 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. They belong to him. They matter to him. So if they matter to him, they ought to matter to us. Can you imagine the conversation that was going on in heaven just before that little baby Jesus came to earth? The angels were asking God, why would you want to go down there with them? Why would you want to become flesh? Don't you know that they're going to reject you? Don't you know that they're going to despise you? Don't you know that they're going to kill you? And here's God says, yes, and I'm going down there anyway. And the angels say, why? And he says, because they matter. Pastor, I've been abused by people. I know. Trust me, I'm a pastor. Can I just get something off my chest? Thank you so much. Did I get up to here All right, up to here. With people saying the pastor or the preacher hurt me or this one or that one. I get hurt all the time. You just got to move on. They matter. Well, I'm not going to care about nobody else. You're playing into the hands of the enemy. That if he can get you to focus everything on you, then you're not fulfilling what God's called you to do. See, one day Jesus and his disciples were walking along and he tells them, I must go to Samaria. Why would you want to go there? They don't worship the way that we worship. No Jews ever go to Samaria. They walk miles out of the way to keep from going there. Jesus, why would you go there? He said, I must go to Samaria. Why? Because they matter. There's a little woman there that with a lot of stuff going on into her life, and she matters. There's a woman there who's been with about 6 or 8 men, and she don't know which way's up. And I'm going by there just to let her know that she matters to me. The Lord might have brought you by here today just for me to tell you that I might not know your name, I might not know your situation, but you matter to God. They matter. Some of us have written some people off, but understand God hasn't written them off. Are you listening to me? Pastor, are you telling me I don't ever need to write somebody off? I know that there are some times that people are toxic and people you got to get away from some people, but I want you to know that even though you might have wrote them off, I want you to know that God didn't write them off, and God's going to deal with them, and God's going to pull on them, and God's going to draw them. He might have to use some other things. He might not can use you, but whatever the case is, they still matter to God, and he's going to deal with them. They matter. See, Jesus fed his Judas. They may irritate you. They may get on your last nerve. They may be hurting you, but even you may even hate them. But as a Christian, you need to know they matter. Now, I'm not telling you that people have done you wrong. You got to get back in the relationship with them. I'm not telling you that they matter to the point that they might be toxic for you. You know, let me give you this illustration. You know, I've been here a long time in Citrus County, 23 years. And I remember when our church was real small. And I remember when, you know, we'd have folks come, and I would have other pastors call me sometimes and go, listen, let me just tell you about that new couple coming to your church. They ain't nothing but trouble. And I said, I appreciate that, and thank you so much for giving me that information. And I'm going to take that information, I'm going to put it in my back pocket, and I'm going to just see what I'm dealing with. But I'm not just going to take your advice. I appreciate you. I really did. I appreciate you doing. But there's a couple that they're normally probably will be in the 11 o'clock service. They've been with me about 20 years. And two pastors called me and said, they are preacher killers. They don't be careful. They'll kill you. They just wear you out. But I'm going to tell you that in 20 years, they have not given me one moment's trouble. What are you saying, Pastor? I mean that God knew that they mattered, and they brought them to somebody who could handle them because they matter. Maybe the people you're around can't handle you, but God will take you to somebody that you can matter and bring some folks to you because he knows that they matter to you. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, preacher. If I wasn't preaching, I'd sit down and listen. Jesus fed his Judas, the one who was about to sell him out, the one who was going to introduce the killing frenzy. Jesus sat next to him at his last supper. Judas was not someone Jesus pushed aside. Judas was someone he said, come, sit next to me. My Lord. Now, I would have said that, but I'd have been being hateful because of it. I'm just being real. I know y'all more spiritual than me. I'd have said, bring your knucklehead self on over here. Let me keep my enemies close to me. But Jesus said, I know what you're going to do. But come sit next to me. I want you to know that you matter. My Lord Jesus. My Lord Jesus. Somebody hear me. So the question is, Are you mature enough to sit with and feed your Judas? I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Why? There's a couple of people that get on my last nerve. But I'm working on it. Pastor, are they here this morning? No. No, they're not here this morning. Matter of fact, the ones I'm thinking of don't even go to our church. But I'm working on it. See, apparently, Judas mattered to Jesus. Does anyone know what I'm talking about this morning? Well, point number two is simply they matter. They matter. They matter to Jesus. Well, Pastor, who gets to decide who matters? You? No, not me. You? No, not you. Society? No, certainly not. Because Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. What is he saying? Let whomever will come. If Jesus breathed breath into your body, then you matter, and therefore they matter to him. The Spirit of God is saying, come. But what are we saying to them? To God be the glory, and I thank the Lord for our church. Our church doesn't say, come as long as you've got it all together. Because if we said that, everybody would have to clear out, including me. If we said, come if you have no issues, then we'd all have to clean out. Come if everything's going your way, then we'd all have to clean out. I'm not sure you realize it, but we're saying to them, come. Come as you are, but don't stay the same way you are. Because when you come into the presence of Jesus, you leave a different way. Can you say amen? Here's what Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Here, the King James Version, New King James Version said, whatever you bind shall be bound, and whatever you loose shall be loosed. And I just wonder if we're in agreement with what the Spirit is saying and doing in the lives of people. I'm not sure we realize the power of our prayers. I'm not sure we understand that God wants us to do with our witness. I wonder if we've claimed a soul for the kingdom of God. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, when's the last time you prayed for somebody who was unsaved that wasn't your family member? When was the last time? To mind something means you have to claim it. You have to want it. You have to go to work for it. You have to make it happen. You can't ignore it. You can't walk past it. You can't turn around from it. You've got to pray for them, and you've got to love them. Where and who are they to come? I'll tell you, they're to come to the church. You and I are the church. And if we don't receive them and love them, who will? If we won't receive them and love them, who will? You know, I've had some people come to me. I don't know if you've, you know, I don't know about here, but I've had some people come to me before. And Brother Richard said, Pastor, do you know we've got some gay people coming to the church? I said, oh, praise God. But Pastor, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to let them sit next to the adulterers. Uh-oh, you're clapping right now, and we're going to let them sit next to the glutton and next to the false witnesses. And we're going to let them sit next to those who don't think correctly. We're going to let them sit next to those who aren't sold out the whole route. Well then, Pastor, where do they sit? Wherever they want to, because those people sit wherever they want to. Are you listening to me? I can't believe that you would let them come. I say, come as you are, but don't stay the same way that you are. They matter. How are they going to hear the truth? The Bible says, unless there be a preacher. How are they? We've got to understand that they matter. We don't condone their sin, but we don't condone the adulterer. How about the liar? Oh, but that's different. No, it isn't. How about the manipulator? Oh, Jesus. I would rather have somebody drinking than manipulating, because I can help them with the drinking. The manipulating, the Bible said, is a sin of witchcraft. They matter. He has a purpose for their life. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, come, even though you're struggling, come. Ha ha. Even though you don't have it together, come. Listen, as long as you're struggling, you know that the devil ain't got you. Because when the devil has you, you don't struggle with those issues anymore. Now here's the question, I'm almost done. Third point is this, do you care? Third point, do you care? Oh, I care, really? Here's what John Maxwell says. The first question a follower asks of a leader is not, are you competent or are you going to help me? The first thing they ask, the first word that they ask when they look at a leader and decide to follow a leader is, do you care for me? Do you care? Do we care? Now listen to me. See, this is where it becomes complex. Because there are some people who don't think you care. Then there are other people who know you care, and they will take all of your care away from you. Are you hearing me? See, that's where we get messed up. We get messed up. You know, and then people who know that, they use words like, and you call yourself a Christian. Manipulation, trying to get you to do something they want you to do. I care. But I know that they matter, but I also know that I matter. Are you listening to me? I'm not telling you to take your rent money and give it to somebody else. No. I'm not telling you, listen, and I've told this story before. You got to make sure you're strong enough not to let everybody else pull you down. And if you feel yourself getting away, you got to distance yourself for a little while until you get built back up. Amen? You got to understand that. Listen, I had a couple come to my house one day and they were fussing and fighting and arguing and everything, and they just dropped by my house unexpected and wanted to come in and talk. I go, no, sir. Come on, y'all, come on out here. Get off my property. Pastor, you didn't, so help me God. One of them's here right now, they'll tell you. No, come off my property. What? And they looked at me, what's wrong? No, I don't need your Jerry Springer up in my house. On my land. My family matters. And so I can't let y'all bring y'all's business up in here, because this is my solitude. This is peace. And I'm not going to let you disturb my peace. Because the only way I can deal with folks like y'all is by having some peace every once in a while. Come on, somebody. So you got to understand that they matter. But just because they matter doesn't mean they get all of your resources. See, I come up with this a long time ago. I refuse to help people beyond their own participation. I'm going to let that sink in. What do you mean? I mean, Jonah tells you to pray, but then Jonah goes into the ship and goes to sleep while you praying. While you working, bailing out the ship, Jonah asleep. Right? Folks talking about, Pastor, help! But they ain't going to do nothing? No. You matter, but not more than me. But you matter. Are you listening to me? Am I making sense to you? Somebody, I'm making feel good right now. The reason for that is because we don't want to submit our lives to someone who might hurt or manipulate us in some way. So the question of care is one that is significant in our life, because it's the first step to trust, which is the first step to relationship. Listen to me closely. If everybody dislikes you, well, they hated Jesus. No, they didn't. The religious people hated Jesus. The sinners loved Jesus. Why? Because he gave them hope. He gave them a way out of their lives. He gave them a reason to hope. The religious ones who hated Jesus. Jesus was the one that went out of his way to go by adultery and go, girl, you need to kick that old boy to the side. Jesus is the one who went by and go, girl, I know you've been through some stuff, but God still got you. Listen to me, somebody. You've got to be a big person to forgive, because forgiveness is a big deal. Listen to me. Forgiveness is a big deal. It takes more strength to forgive than it does to remain hostile and angry and bitter. Woo! Preach, preacher, I believe I will. Little people can't do it because they're too small, they're too petty, they're too easily offended. You ever meet folks who are always offended about something? Ah, good Lord. And usually they're religious. Well, that offends me. I started telling your offense offends me. You being offended all the time offends me. Now what are we going to do about it? See, listen, y'all better be glad I ain't God. I'm just going straight up. I'm glad you ain't God. If I was God, I'd kill me. Right? If I was God, and listen, I don't even know stuff on everybody. Just the stuff I seen on Facebook, I'd kill some of y'all. My wife's going to get on me. I can't say that in the 11 o'clock service. So y'all get the unedited version. I see some stuff on Facebook and I go, don't they know I'm a friend of theirs on Facebook? I've contacted a couple of people and go, do not put Crystal River Church of God on your Facebook page. Stinking harlot. I said that out loud, didn't I? Want to be gigolo? Come on, somebody. Forgiveness is a big thing. You've got to be able to see the big picture to forgive somebody. You've got to be able to willing to lose the battle in order to win the war. Oh my God, somebody hear me. You've got to be able to lose a battle here and there, but you know that you're going to win that war. You've got to be willing to let go of the small stuff that really doesn't matter. When you compare it to the blood of Jesus, which is bigger picture, in order to forgive someone. You know, I think back almost 20 years ago, and I reflect on this prophet several times in my life. He's a very obscure prophet that many of you might not know, but he's... name is Rafiki. For those of you who don't have children that small, it is the baboon in Lion King. And the prophet Rafiki was talking to Simba. Some of y'all getting it now. See, some of y'all are offended. Oh, I can't believe he called him a prophet. Well, everybody else is calling themselves a prophet, and they ain't one, but anyway. But the prophet Rafiki, talking with Simba, and he was talking about his past, and Rafiki knocked him on the head with a club. How many remember that? Just popped him. Pop. And he goes, what did you do that for? And Rafiki said, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. You letting stuff in your past hold you down and sling you down. You got to understand, it's in the past. It don't matter. It ain't a big deal. You're making it a big deal. How is it that we think God is able to forgive us, but he's not able to forgive them? Right? It's the same way when we drive down the road, ain't it? Somebody around us makes a stupid driving move and we go, you stupid horse face idiot. The next day we do the same thing they just did and we go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Or we say things like, oh, I'm in a hurry, I don't understand. So we think that God is able to forgive us and all of our issues, but not them. Because I know them. I'm God's CSI on them. God, did you know that they did this? God, did you know? God's like, I'm aware of that. I'm good. I don't need you. I got this. I've got some stuff See, I don't know about you, but I've got some stuff and I need God's forgiveness for. I've got some stuff, and some of the stuff I got I ain't proud of. Are you listening to me? I've got some stuff that except for His grace, there's no chance in this world that I'm going to make it to heaven if it wasn't for His grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. I need His grace. I need His forgiveness. And I'm depending on it to help me get to where I'm going, trying to go, which is where He is. But how is it that we sometimes depend on all that, but think it's not available for them? You remember, dear, I remember the Sunday night I gave my heart to Christ. It was a Sunday night. Thank God for Sunday night service. It was a Sunday night. I sung myself under conviction. I got saved, and I felt the burdens roll away. I knew I was saved. I knew if I died, I were going to heaven. Man, what an awesome, awesome responsibility. What an awesome feeling that was. And I knew I was going to make it to heaven. But then I look at some people and I go, oh, surely you can't save them. My Lord, don't you know about them? Do you know what they did? I mean, don't you know that? Good Lord, Lord, the person's an alcoholic. Lord, that person treated me so bad when I was, you ever been mad when God saved somebody? I'm just being real. I got mad a couple of times. I'm just more honest than some of y'all. I'd be like, God's going to get you. I didn't say it to him, but I thought, oh, yeah. Payment's coming. And then they get saved, like, shoot. We're the only ones that has suffered. We think that we're the only ones that He died for. We think that we're the only one that Calvary was all about. No. It was for me. But thank God it was for them. For God so loved the world. Did you know that? See, if you ask me, Pastor, what is your philosophy of life and ministry? My philosophy of life and ministry is balance. You got to be balanced. And so you got to understand that you're important, but they're important. You got to understand that if you're going to serve Him, then you need to also serve them. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Because they matter. They matter to Jesus and they matter to us. We call ourselves Christians and we're not concerned about the same things that Christ is concerned about. What is Christ concerned about? People. And we can't call ourselves Christians and not be concerned about the 7+ billion people that He's concerned about. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth? It's not just about me today. It's not just about you either. We need to get stirred up in our hearts about them. About them. Why? Because they matter. Why do we do the things that we do? Because I don't want anything. We do our best to design our worship service to minister to people. You know, I don't get up. When I prepare a message, a sermon, I don't go, well, what would they really like? I never ask that question. I never ask, what do you think the people would like for dinner on Sunday? No. I ask the Lord, Lord, what would you like me to tell them? What do you have for me? What would you have me do? And I, with everything that's in me, I need you to know that they matter. That don't mean that we're there. That doesn't mean that you are their whipping post. That doesn't mean that you're their doormat. But that they matter. You know, I won't be able to share this one in the later service because we'll be on live. But I got somebody contacting me this week, and they were just trying to pick a fight, but they matter. And I just agreed with them. Matter of fact, he told me, I'll just share this real quickly. He told me that somebody had contacted him and all the religions of the world were going to give up their mascots, Jesus, and appoint him as the official whatever. You know, and I could have went, but you know what I did? I said, congrats, bro. Now, is he an idiot? Absolutely. Is he a moron? Surely to goodness to the Lord he is. Do I want to pop him in the pipe? Absolutely. Do I want to anoint him with a brick? Yes, I do. But here's what I do know. He still matters. He still matters. Now, I could waste all of my time and breath and resources on him. Or just go, congrats, bro. Are you listening to me? People matter. They matter. Would you look at somebody and tell them they matter? They matter to God, and they matter to me. Let's get stirred up in our hearts about them because they matter. They need to know that we are concerned about them. They need to know that we care about them. And they need to know that they matter to us. Would you stand to your feet this morning? You know, I remember when we were building this sanctuary 8 years ago, almost nine now. When we were building this thing, I had several people ask me, Pastor, why are we building this church? And I told them then, I go, it's because your friends and family, there's some of them that aren't saved, and so until they are saved, we're going to make a place for them to come and get saved. We're going to make a place so that we can make disciples. We're going to make a place where we can teach them the Word of God in Family Focus Hour, during kids' church, during youth service. We're going to minister, try to do our best to minister to the whole family because they matter. We don't even know who they are, but they matter. Listen to me closely. I want you to raise your hand this morning if you was here before this building was erected. Come on, lift your hand. Now let everybody look around. That's about a quarter of the people. I mean, not that you was here on the planet, we know that. But you were here at the church. Only about a quarter. But look around. See, you mattered. That's why we did what we did. That's why we do what we do. Because you matter. I want you to know that not just you, but now they. 145,000 people still in Citrus County. I don't know how many of them will not be in church this morning. I don't know how many of them who don't know Jesus this morning. But until they know and come to the full saving knowledge of Christ, we got to keep on. We got to continue on. We got to do what we know to do. And if you want to be right in the eyes of God, then you need to know that they serve or that they matter. And you know one of the best ways that you can tell or that you can prove that they matter is by serving them. That's why we don't back up around here. You become a member of our church, we want you to do it even before you become a member. We want you to serve somewhere in this church. We have two services. We would love for you to attend one and serve one. And how, you know, well, Pastor, I don't want to do all that. I work all week. Do they matter? Because usually you working all week means that you matter. You working all week means your family matters. But what about on Sunday? Do you do anything to let folks know they matter? Well, Pastor, look at you. No, listen. Sunday I put a lot of effort out. But once I start preaching, not the preparation, but once I start, I like to do that. But it's the things you do during the week. Am I making sense to anybody? Listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that you matter. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that he died so that you might live. Pastor, you don't know what I did. You don't know what the person next to you did. Woo! I could make some of y'all blush by telling some secrets up in here. I'm not going to. Don't get nervous. Because all of us have been there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, but you want to, would you slip up your hand? I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. Anybody in this place? Hallelujah. I'm going to assume that everybody's a born-again believer. I see that hand. God bless you, hon. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I see that hand. God bless you, honey. I want to pray a prayer. And the Bible says, according to the Word of God, that if you confess, believe, then you shall be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Everybody in this building, would you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for dying for my sin. I receive that blessing, that forgiveness in my life right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Now I want everybody in this building, lift up both of your hands if you can. And would you just pray, Lord, help me to forgive those I need to forgive. Help me to serve. Help me to get an understanding that people matter. They matter. Folks who get on my nerves matter. And give me the grace I need to minister. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.